Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Hours, just a few hours before Hanukkah candlelighting and not talking about Hanukkah. So it ended up working out perfectly because we were in the middle of Rav Hirsch's discussion of where we were up to in our Bereishis story. So we're going to finish what we were in the middle of. And then before starting a new section, which is anyway going to be put on hold because I'm not going to be here next Tuesday, so we'll finish what we're in the middle of, and then we'll spend the back half of the class just sharing a short Hanukkah thought so that we could really feel prepared for the upcoming holiday, which is really quite a special yontif and very exciting, as I'm sure you are all excited. So let's first finish what we're in the middle of. So that was the story of another exciting story. Abraham's the expulsion of his son Yishmael. So where we are up to, if you remember from our sheet, the text sheet that you have, so we are in the middle of section 2 of our sheet, in which in chapter 21, verses 9 through 13, in which Sarah sees the son of Hagar as being mitzachek, he's playing, he is making merry, he is causing problems. We discussed last week what exactly that meant, whether or not that meant the big three of idolatry, adultery, and murder, or whether or not he was simply mocking Yitzchak and mocking Avraham and the big celebration of the weaning of Yitzchak. But Sarah sees in these behaviors that this child is going off in a direction that she doesn't want to have any part of for her son, for her Yitzchak, and therefore she says to Avraham, drive out this handmaid and her son, for the son of this handmaid shall not inherit with my son, with Yitzchak. And we noted what's missing in her wording when she says to drive him out?
Ishmael.
Correct. His name is not mentioned. She is very distant. She is saying, drive out. Who is this child? The son of the handmaid. Because we've been discussing this concept of the shared religious genes from Abraham, and then the divergent source of the mother's genes from Sarah versus Hagar. And Sarah is focusing on that. Drive out this handmaid and her son. And Abraham, in verse 11, the matter greatly displeases him. He is not excited. He's not interested. He doesn't want to do this at all. And we mentioned as well that who sees the problem? Who sees Ishmael for what he is?
Sarah.
Now, we didn't have an answer yet. Rav Hirsch will address his interpretation of that. We didn't yet answer whether or not Abraham also saw it, couldn't believe it, or he thought he could change him, or he didn't know. But it's Sarah who sees the problem, says to Abraham, we must drive her out. And the way the verse describes Abraham's displeasure in verse 11 is concerning whose son?
His
son, right? You see the tense, she's saying, drive out that maid, handmaid's son, and Avram says, I don't want to drive out my son. So that God has to step in. The tension was such, in other words, the Torah doesn't describe it as a long-lasting debate or yelling and screaming, but it's clearly the type of the tension where Avram says, I don't want to do it. And Hashem Himself steps in and speaks to Avram and says, be not displeased concerning the lad, and concerning your handmaid, whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her voice, for in Yitzchak will be called your seed. And we noted, how does Hashem address this boy?
As a lad.
The lad. So that Sarah referred to him as, you know, that maidservant son. Avram makes it personal. He's my son. And Hashem responds and says, that lad. Because why? Because who are your children going to come through? Only through Yitzchak. Your seed will be specifically and only through the line of Yitzchak. And therefore listen to everything that your wife Sarah has to say. And then Hashem completes this particular message with that the son of a handmaid I will make into a nation because he is your seed. And then you hear him playing back into Avram's concern. Don't worry, he will become a nation because after all, he is your seed, he is your child, but he is not going to carry this Abrahamic message to the world. You need more than just an Avraham to do that. You need an Avraham together with the Sarah to create the child that will do so. Okay, those are the verses. We were in the middle of going through Rav Hirsch's explanation of this, which we've just sort of connected into into what we our review. We are up to verse 11 on page 355 is where we left off, pointing out that as he pointed out in verse 10, just as a in verse 9 and verse 10, how he had focused on the idea of the dual nature, which we mentioned again, of the Sarah versus the Hagar, how he is a product of Hagar, and how, despite how harsh it is, the language of Geresh, you know, drive out, completely cut ties, that's what was required to actually sever what the relationship was. Then you can give him gifts, you can send him off nicely, but it has to be clear that he's not going to be part of this future dynasty, as it was. Okay, verse 11. This is on the verse in which it says, the matter appeared extremely bad in the eyes of Abraham, greatly distressed him over this matter on account of his son. Says Rav Hirsch on page 355, verse 11, the whole affair seemed to Abraham to be extremely bad. It's harsh, from the word ra. It was ra ve'enav. It was evil, it was bad, it was harsh in his eyes. It made an end to his plans, to what he had pictured of his future. Rav Hirsch understands that Avram saw Yishmael in his future. This was a child of his. And he was going to be part of the plan. And indeed, not only with regards to Yishmael, but also regarding to his mother. Because as God will say to him, Al Hanar vi Al Amasecha, driving both out, Hashem's response is going to be, yes, drive out Hagar, and drive out her son. So this is the end of, this has been, as we've pointed out a couple times, sometimes, you know, when we read in the Chumash, things seem to go very, very quickly. We go from, you know, Bereishis to Noach, Lech Lecha Vayera, like we run through these stories. When did Hagar marry Avram? How old were they? Avram, he's born, if you remember. Shmuel was born and Avram was, anyone remember?
99.
No, younger than that?
85.
86. Hagar was, Yishmael was born when Avram was 86, so that when Yitzchak gets his bris at 100, he's 13 years old already. So that they've been married now for 14, 15 years. It's not just like, you know, a drop in the bucket, you know. I'm not married for 15 years yet, so that's a long time. There's a lot that's gone on in my life in the last. So Avram has had this relationship for 15 years with Hagar. Significance. And now he's being told, drive her out. With the language that the Torah uses later for divorce, cut, end, finished. No more of a relationship. So Rav Hirsch describes, yeah, this wasn't pleasant in his eyes. He doesn't see the future as we see looking back, what's become of the Yishmaelite nation and what's happened to us. This is a 14-year-old boy, 15-year-old boy, maybe he's 70, somewhere in that range. And what's become his wife of 15 years. And if Yishmael was 17, then, you know, 18, 19 years, a long time. And now he's being told, send her out. And that relationship. And this was not pleasing in Abraham's eyes. Now, I want to point out, the Medrash says, I didn't have it in front of me to read to you, but the Medrash says, out of all the nisyonos, out of all of the tests, in Pirkei Avos, the sages say that Abraham had 10 tests. This is trial number 9. This is the last trial before number 10, which is going to be the binding of his own son. There's a Medrash, the sages say that this was the most difficult of all tests that Abraham had to face, the kind of just driving him out and kicking out both his son out of his own house. This idea, Avram is the pillar of chesed, of kindness. He's the representative that of all, each one of the fathers had a certain trait that they represented, and Avram's is kindness. And you have to sort of like keep that in mind as you hear this being said. It's almost like coming out of the blue. Like one day Sarah walks into Avram and says, you know, kick him out. The Torah doesn't say that Avram saw it. Now he might have, and we'll see Rehersh's approach. But it's just like she walks in and says, you need to get them out of here. And doesn't want to. And it's going to take Hashem himself stepping in saying, you must do this. This goes against the grain of everything that Avram has been trying to develop and he's being required to do. And this also harkens back to, I'll get in a second, what we had spoken about, this tension between when you're trying to develop this nation, trying to develop the characteristics, what do you do with the outlier, the child who doesn't want to be part of the program? Is there a harsh cut, like, you don't want out, so you're out. Or is this, you know, well, we'll accept, we'll change our standards. And in the forming of the nation, there was a very harsh if you're not in, if you're mitzachek, if you're going to be mocking, if you're going to be involved in these things, then there's no place for that, and you have to actually leave. And for Avram, the man of chesed, the man of kindness, the man who's bringing the world under his wings, opening his tent, imagine what the paper says the next day. Hagar and Yishmael banished from Avram's house. The man telling all of us to open up our doors and have no four doors open on all sides and bringing everybody in, and then he just swept them right out. This is a test. It's one of the 10 tests of Avraham. It's sometimes easy to say, oh, he's a wicked person, so like we'll move on. This was his child. This was his wife of 15, 16, 17 years, and he's being told, you must do so. That goes against the grain of what he's been doing, and therefore is one of the most difficult tests that Avram has to face. And by extension, when a parent has to do something like that, as we discussed, when sometimes that's one of the most difficult things that a person, even though it's what has to happen, that's a very difficult test to have to do. Yeah.
You said the sages said that was the most difficult test.
Yeah.
Does that mean the most difficult up until that time?
It's a good question. It's an excellent question, because many of the commentators understand that the last of the 10, the binding of Isaac, was the most difficult. There is a statement of the sages that this was the most difficult thing. So, I don't know what... could be their language was the most rotten, was the most evil, but it was up there. And it's worth noting in terms of, you see in the language of the Torah, how it was ra be'enav. It was very difficult, very displeasing in his eyes. Vayera hadavar me'od be'enei Avram. Like, the language of the Torah is very strong here. Vayera hadavar me'od. It was very exceedingly distressful in his eyes to do so, and that's why. And as Rav Hirsch describes, this brought an end to his plan. Like, he saw Yishmael and Hagar in his plan, in his life. And now is where the prophecy, in other words, let's point out again, it's in verse 12. How does verse 12 end when Hashem steps in? Ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chaza. Here's where Avram here. No, it's only going to be through Yitzchak. So until he hears that, when Sarah just says to kick this child out, that comes off as a very difficult thing for him to hear. Regarding, continuing in Rav Hirsch on the 5 lines down in verse 11, regarding both, meaning both Hagar and her son Yishmael, it seemed to him anything but good or right, but not from personal feelings of attraction for Hagar, but solely al odos beno. The Torah says, why was this bad? On account of his son. Now, Avram did not want to do this. The Torah stresses at the end of verse 11, it was on account of his son that he didn't want to do this, out of consideration for his son, out of motives regarding his son. What Sarah had noticed has surely not escaped the notice of Avraham. Now, Rav Hirsch is expressing his opinion on the question that we asked. Why is Sarah the only one who sees this? Sarah says that Sarah, in verse 9 on the top of the other page, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar mocking, making merry. Where's Avraham? So Rav Hirsch's interpretation is there's no way that his behaviors escaped Avraham's eye, but Avraham might have been thinking, if here, at home, Yishmael has already become lost to all seriousness and has become a mitzachek, has become one who mocks, has become one who makes merry, and is under Hagar's influence, and that's in my home, where I exert some influence, and look what's happening to my son, and it's certainly partly countered by that of Avraham's, and yet Hagar's influence has already become so powerful, what will become of the boy when they are both far away from here and Yishmael is given over completely to Hagar's influence? Now, this is a very important insight. You have here a child that's growing up in the home of Avram, that's influenced both by his mother Hagar and her Egyptian upbringing and her approach, which is going to create this wild man, unbridled, uncontained, yet also under the influence of the spiritual aspect of Avram, who's going to be a very religious person for all of the rest of mankind. And Sarah says, out. And Avram says, well, if this is what he's like now, what's going to be when he's out of my influence? And you see here, Hashem says, it's a good point, Avram. It's a good concern. But we can't have him in here, because that partial influence, the half influence of Hagar, is already not going to be conducive to developing Yitzchak in the way that he has to. And you are right. What will become of this son Yishmael when he's out of your home and now solely under the influence of Hagar? We have the world of Ishmael. We have that nation. We see it. So we have, they still have the spiritual genes of Avram, a deeply religious people, but it's now completely in the world of that unbridled, unkempt, yodo bakolis, hand will be against everybody, everybody's hand will be against him, he'll be wild and uncontained, and he'll pray 5 times a day. Because he has that from Avram, but he was not any longer under the influence of Avram, and now he's shaped only by Hagar, who always runs into the desert, runs away from society. That will now shape this child. And her first suggested, Avram's like, but what? I don't want to lose him more. That same tension that, you know, as we always bring about, like, what do I do with this child? If I kick him out, like, at least here he's in my house. He sees Shabbos, he sees a relationship. Well, what's going to be with him if he's on the street? It's even worse. So those are difficult decisions that, you know, a parent has to make, which none of us should ever have to be involved in. But as far as the creation of the nation, Hashem says to Avram, this child can't be here. This child is a negative influence on Yitzchak, and it's through Yitzchak that your children will continue. Okay, verse 12. So Hashem, as we mentioned, steps in. Hashem comes in and says, do not let it be evil in your eyes. Which is a very interesting response. In other words, Hashem could have said, I know this is terrible, but it's what you have to do. And Hashem instead, he says, Al yeirah beinecha, let it not be bad in your eyes, on account of the lad and on account of his mother, your maidservant. Everything that Sarah says, listen to her voice. We saw already Rashi pointed out that the phrase of listen to her voice as opposed to just listen to her was because she's speaking under the influence of the divine spirit, and she is correct in what she says to make him leave. And you now, Avram, I need to speak to you directly for you to get that message. Says Rav Hirsch, Shema Bekol, listen to her voice. Real, true obedience is expressed by Shema Bekol, listen to the voice, and not Badavar, listen to the words. Very, very interesting concept, says Rav Hirsch. I could say it in two ways. I can say, listen to that person's voice, or listen to that person's words. What's the difference if I say, listen to the person's voice versus listen to their words? Says Rav Hirsch, we'll read it inside in a moment. If I say listen to their words, or I say a person listen to their words, person A listen to person B's words, that means you listen to their words, you heard what they said, you measured and weighed whether or not they're true, and you said yes. I accept those words. If I said that I listened to the person's voice, then what I said is, whatever that person was going to say, I am going to listen to. Regardless, irrespective of how I weigh and measure those words, whether I accept or agree to them, I'm listening to the voice that's saying them, not listening to the words that come out. So Rav Hirsch picks up what Hashem says to Avram, listen to the voice of Sarah. I don't want you to measure her words. I don't want you to think about them, whether or not you agree or disagree, you like or dislike them. I want you to listen to her voice. Whatever it is that she's going to be saying to you, that's what I want you to listen to. In Rav Hirsch's words, that is obedience. True obedience is expressed by listen to the voice, not the words. Listen to the voice of another, not to his words. Obey him because he says it. Never bother about what he says. Now, we don't have these kinds of relationships, right? We don't have we're not a servant, we don't have a master where that would be true. But we have that with Hashem in the sense of, we're not like seven, like whatever, we're going to listen, we're going to do. It's not that we're going to hear, we're going to weigh, we're going to evaluate, I like, I don't like. It's whatever the voice comes and says, that's what we're going to do because of the nature of the relationship that I have between right, in our workplaces, we sort of have this. If there's a type of a boss, like some types of bosses have a relationship with his workers in which you have a say, you have a voice, I want to hear what you have to say, and we'll figure this out together. And sometimes it's a matter of, this is what we're doing, and if you want to work here, you'll do it. If you don't want to work here, that's fine. You know, here's the door. But it's not the type of relationship where I want to hear your opinion. So that's a listening to the voice. Here comes the voice, whatever the voice says I'm doing, versus here come the words. He might be the boss and I'm the employee, but we're going to talk it over, we're going to debate, and we'll figure out what to do. So obedience is measured by listening to the voice, not listening to the words. Listen to the voice of Sarah, obey her. Even if you cannot agree with her words, depend on her judgment. She goes deeper than you do, as altogether women have a deeper insight into character. First, just decides to throw that in there. Like, in general, that's what the truth is. Women have a greater insight into a character of a person than a man does. I've read that. I read this over and over again. I said, no, he couldn't have meant that. So I read it again. No, that's not what he means. And then I couldn't work around it. That's what he's saying. I don't know. I don't know. But that's what you, the Gemara uses that phrase of Bina Yisera, that women have an extra measure of understanding than a man has. There's just a certain intuition and understanding as a person understands into a character of a person. If you want to know about a character, a man and a woman are standing together, they meet somebody, the woman will pick up on his essence of that character much faster than the man will have insight into that person. And therefore Hashem says to Avram, listen to her voice. Whatever she says, she sees Yishmael. Now again, this is part of her, according to his own interpretation. He didn't think that Avram missed it. As we could have interpreted, Avram didn't see what was going on with Yishmael. First, no. Avram saw. But Sarah had the greater insight into his personality. Sarah, when she sees the behaviors, sees there's no hope. This child can't be with my child. Whereas Avram says, no, he's a boy, he's a teenager, we'll work with him, it's okay, we'll keep him around. Sarah says, absolutely not. This is not just a stage, this is not just something he's going to grow out of. She had the insight into his personality, into his character that said, out. Whereas Avram, so he didn't want to send him out. And Hashem says to Avram, listen to her voice. She has that understanding, she has that depth that you do not. And therefore he's out. But your seed will be called after Yitzchak. In him you will be called. You are not going to be called. Yishmaelites will not call themselves sons of Abram. Yitzchak's children will be called sons of Abraham. He is your seed. Flipping over to the next page. He comes from you. Top of page 356. He will have a good deal of the material and something of the spiritual from you. Meaning Yishmael, he's your seed at the end of the verse. He also has something from you. But to be called the son of Abraham, for that he is not worthy. Your spiritual heir he cannot be. Therefore only through Yitzchak will your spiritual heirs come, but not from Yishmael. Now, the sage's remark, as Rav Hirsch is going to call, the phrase was, Ki bi Yitzchak yikarei l'chazara, because through Yitzchak will your seed be called. The sages derived bi Yitzchak, through Yitzchak, but not in all of Yitzchak. Because even Yitzchak is going to have a son, Esav. Yitzchak is going to have twins, Yaakov and Esav. And Esav also is not going to be called the sons of Abraham. They're going to go off into a whole nation, which will be known as the nation of Edom and Rome, Western civilization, descended from Abraham through Yitzchak and then cut off. And in the same way as Abraham has, this is that we've mentioned this a couple of times, Abraham, from him comes both a Hagar, a Yishmael, and a Yitzchak, and Yishmael is pushed aside, and then through Yitzchak, Yitzchak has only one wife. And then from him, they themselves have two children, Esav and Yaakov. And Esav is pushed aside, and it's only through Yaakov, and then through him and his four wives we have what becomes Klal Yisrael. There's much to discuss about that concept of how that worked in creating the Jewish nation. Avram, two wives, two children, and then one wife, and two children, and then we split aside one, and then four wives, and 12 children. There's a lot there, but we're going to leave that aside for now, and just focus on the fact that even through Yitzchak, it's not all of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak will himself issue a child that will not be called or considered a son of Avram. There, top paragraph on page 356, Be Yitzchak, from through Yitzchak, and not all of Yitzchak, as our sages remark. Not Isaac, meaning not all of him, but in Isaac, meaning through someone who will come from Yitzchak, will descendants mature for you. And therefore, listen to how our first understands, why is it here that Hashem says to Avraham, I want you to know that even in Yitzchak, who's being chosen, it's not going to be all of Yitzchak. Here is where Hashem says to Avram, even your son Yitzchak is going to have to go through this process of having a son of his pushed aside from the Jewish people, from eternity of the Jewish people. And Yitzchak only had one wife. This was a full son of his. And here is where Hashem says it to Avram. Why, says the verse, do not let it be too hard and painful to separate from one son. I know this is hard, Avram. You don't want to do this. He's your son. And you don't want to separate, but don't let it be too hard, because Isaac too not all will remain your spiritual heirs. Even from Yitzchak, he's going to have a descendant, a son, who's going to throw himself out of the Jewish people. And then in Refersh's beautiful language, on the best of trees, not every fruit ripens. And to keep the right seed pure for the people of God, some will have to be separated out as unfit. And again, this concept, which is to sound to us in our westernized world is a harsh concept, but when you're producing and you're trying to siphon out and manufacture the prime, pure seed, so in the same way as we would do it in the case of farming, and it would be obvious, the way that you do that is you take a crop, and you take out all the bad ones, and you take the good ones, and then you reproduce from those, and you go through the same process, and you take out all the bad ones, and then eventually you get the perfect seed, the perfect fruit from the tree. And in the development of the spiritual nature of the Jewish people, that was the process that was going on. From Avram, even though he issues forth two products, Yishmael and Yitzchak, but Yishmael didn't come from the right mother, and she's out. And then even Yitzchak, who does have the same wife from Rivka, but you know what? Rivka came from an evil father. And from between the two of them, between Yitzchak and Rivka, comes forth a Esav as well. And he pushes himself out. He doesn't want to have any part. He sells the birthright and goes off in a different direction. And then only through Yaakov, then eventually comes the full seed, the full 12 children, all of whom were righteous, and all of whom were part of the Jewish people. And this is part of the process, and Hashem, in essence, already foreshadows that to Avram, when he's being asked to banish his son, ki bi Yitzchak, through part of Yitzchak will your seed continue, he's going to have to go through the same painful process as well. And therefore, try not to let it be too hard or too painful in your eyes as you have to expel him. And that's what takes place. That's the end of our section 2. What we'll pick up with, Mirtz Hashem, after Chanukah, after our break, is then section 3, verses 14 through 21, in which now Avram actually expels Yishmael, and when we have a whole fascinating affair in which Yishmael and his wife Hagar wander through the desert, run out of water, they speak to the angel, and that will be our next phase, and then eventually we'll get to the story of the binding of Isaac. But that brings us to the end of section 2 as we go through. Really, just these are fascinating, I hope you're enjoying fascinating stories. Let's spend a few minutes just discussing a little bit about Chanukah.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.